We're talking about jobs in the economy, and you have said government can help the economy best by largely getting out of the economy's way. So what would the government's role in the economy look like going forward? Where would it still play a role, and what would it not be doing in the future that it does now?
Well, where it gets in the way is with lots of these regulations. So I'm a small business owner. I have a software company, and I hired an employee in January, but it took me a month to get through all the red tape to get that one employee hired. And it'd be I might be able to hire more employees or hire them quicker if there were less regulations in the way. So that's one thing we need to look at. So that's where I would start, was the regulation. But the tax system, it's the federal tax system. I'm running for Congress, and the federal tax system is costly, corrupt, and way too complicated. So that's something that needs to be overhauled.
And I'm going to come back to taxes with you in just a moment. But I first wanted to ask about regulations, because you often hear business owners talk about the regulation system. And the rationale used when regulations and laws are set up is that the concern is that it more or less keeps the peace among economic players. So how do you get the government out of the way of economic actors, small businesses, without then also going the other direction where you have the economic actors getting in each other's way?
Yeah. I mean, so there's definitely a role for government to be, you know, the court system, to be an arbitrator when, you know, contracts come under dispute, that sort of thing. But it does get in the way a lot also. So it's a balance. It's a fine balance. But right now there's way too much in the way part of it. And that's, you know, different regulations. I talked to someone yesterday who was a roofer, and he was talking about OSHA's regulations and their different requirements for lead abatement or something like that. And he's like, there's the right way to do it, there's the wrong way to do it, then there's OSHA's way to do it. And, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, even for my house, I'm put on addition. My contractor is like, oh, I just overbuild everything anyway, because, you know, if the inspector comes in, you know, they're going to be looking for nitpicks. So I just overbuild, and, you know, it'll cost you a little bit more, but then we don't have to deal with, you know, extra problems that, you know, down the line with inspections.
You talked about taxes, and one of the ideas you're proposing is a fair tax. It's this flat rate tax, primarily based on consumption. And included in that, you talk about something called a prebate, so that essential goods, food and so forth, would essentially wind up exempt. Could you describe a little bit about how that would work, and then what people could expect to pay in terms of a fair tax?
Yes. Basically, the consumption taxes are typically regressive, but with the fair tax bill, they add in this prebate to get rid of the regressive nature of the tax, so that you are tax exempt up to the poverty level pretty much. And to keep it as simple as possible, because the current system is way too complicated, and the fair tax strives to make it a lot simpler. So what they do is they give the prebate to everyone, so you don't have to file income statement saying, oh, you need a prebate because you made so much or didn't make enough. So they give out a monthly prebate to everyone based on, you know, number of people in your household. And it's going to be, you know, about $200, $250 a person, I think is what it is. And that covers pretty much all the taxes you would pay up until the poverty line. So that's the simplest way to handle the fair tax. And fairtax.org is the site with all the information on it.
Is there any concern, though, that when you move to taxing expenditures, essentially you're taxing consumption, could that curb consumption?
It could, because when you tax something, you get less of it. So, I mean, it could curb consumption, but we're in a heavily consumption-oriented society. And, you know, few people consuming a little bit less probably wouldn't be such a bad thing. The other thing the fair tax does is it encourages recycling, reuse, because you're not taxed on used goods. So if you resell something, you don't pay that end tax on it. Because the fair tax, one of the other points of the fair tax is that it gets rid of double taxation. So you're no longer taxed multiple times on the price of a good. You tax once the end purchase, and that's it.
Would the fair tax have would there be any concerns about bringing a fair tax in, especially in this state, given that right now one of the draws that people talk about is our economic landscape? We don't have a broad-based sales tax, and then we would.
This is a national tax, not a state tax. So it'd be at the federal level. There are some stipulations in the bill so that different states can collect it if they want. New Hampshire wouldn't have to do anything with it. The federal government would still collect that tax. So the state taxes would still be in, you know, we would still just be relying on the property tax in New Hampshire and the corporate tax that we have here, and the federal tax completely separate.
Let's talk about the federal budget, which you said is another key to economic growth, is getting the budget spent, is balancing that budget. A lot of business owners have pretty close relationships with government funding. We have the defense industry in this state, with the Portsmouth Naval Shipyard. In the North Country, there are seminars going on for businesses who are looking to sell goods or services to the new federal prison in Berlin. If the government is getting out of a lot of that spending, would that create, at least in the short term, some kind of economic losses for New Hampshire?
What we're looking at is probably rolling back to 2003 levels for the budget to get it balanced. We were pretty well set in 2003, so it's not like it's going to be an economic catastrophe if we just roll back, you know, 10 years worth of spending. And if we don't, we will have an economic catastrophe if we don't get our spending under control, because right now we're at, you know, borrowing and printing 43 cents out of every dollar, which it, you know, so we need to figure out a way to cut 43% of the budget, and that means looking at all the programs, whether it's entitlement or whether it's the military. Everything needs to be looked at, and you know, we need to get the cuts, because if we don't, we're going to be the same position as Greece and Spain and Portugal, and we could be looking at hyperinflation or things like that in the next 7 to 10 years.
There are a number of line items in the federal budget that are at least aimed at, if not promoting, economic growth. Is there any concern that you have that going forward, those programs are out of the federal budget? Is that going to put U.S. companies potentially at a disadvantage when they're competing on the global marketplace with countries, say, like China or Germany, who are subsidizing or at least governmentally supporting those industries as they try to get off the ground? Does the U.S. lose any ground?
So we have two things there. One is, should special interests be making these decisions down in D.C.? And that's where we're at now. We have, you know, thousands of lobbyists, you know, two or three lobbyists per congressman right now in D.C. that are making up these special benefits to these companies, I guess. So we need to get rid of that. I mean, you're much better off if you're keeping your money, your business is keeping the money, and they're making their own decision on how to spend their money instead of having it taken away from them and then shuffled down to D.C. and given back to maybe not them, but someone else who probably, you know, wasn't spending it as well in the first place because they're taking it from the companies and making the profit and giving it to some other company like a Solyndra that's going to go bankrupt in 3 years. So part one. Part two is, how do we stay competitive in the international market space? And that's one of the benefits of the fair tax. The fair tax removes all the business tax. So that's one of the other benefits of it, is businesses no longer have to deal with all this costly overhead of dealing with the tax system. And it makes businesses 30% more competitive with countries overseas, because now our businesses can sell goods overseas at a 30% reduced price. And when the companies overseas sell it into the U.S., they're paying that end consumer tax. So it definitely levels the playing field that way and will drive millions of new jobs back in the U.S. economy if we implement the fair tax.
Last question for you, and this is one we're asking of every candidate. As you're calling for these ideas, these policies, what should Granite Staters be looking for 2 years from now to see whether or not they're economically better off than they are here in 2012?
You're throwing me for a question. So I would say in two years, I would look at right now where we've been. So for the last 2 years, look at Congress. Congress has a 9% approval rating. Do we want to send the same people back to Congress, the Democrats and Republicans that we've been sending, who have only a 9% approval rating? So I would say, you know, give a third choice. There's three candidates on the ballot, myself being the third choice. So in 2 years, what do you want to look at? We need a balanced budget in 2 years. You know, if we have a balanced budget, last time we had real economic growth in this country was under Clinton, when we had a balanced budget. And since then, we've been in these wars. We need to get out of these wars. That's a huge drain on the economy. Really concerned about Iran and, you know, the next president going into Iran. Whether we need to or not, it seems like they're all saber-rattling about it. So we need to have a balanced budget in 2 years, and that should be the goal. And if we can get a balanced budget, I think that will really kick off the economy. And then, you know, gas prices should drop if we're pull out of these wars. So that would be a benefit because I would like to see gas get back to under $2 a gallon. I mean, that's a few things. But, I mean, I would say, you know, don't continue doing the same thing we've been doing because it hasn't been working and we're in bad shape right now.
Hardy Mesha, thanks so much for taking the time and talking with us.
Thank you very much, Brady.